Welcome to Cairo Radio at Night. I am Jason Rentz, live from the Carter Subaru Studios on a freezing Tuesday night. We have a big show planned. An atheist group put up a big A for atheist next to a nativity scene and a giant menorah. Is this group doing it to express themselves, or are they just trying to pick a fight? The vice president of the Chicago chapter of the Freedom from Religion Foundation joins me at 7:30. The issue over bikini baristas may go to a vote in one Washington city, but should it? We'll get into it at 8 o'clock. GeekWire's Todd Bishop joins me at 8:30 to help figure out this whole Amazon drone program. And 710 ESPN Seattle's Bob Stelton will join me at 9 to talk about the Hawks. But first, fast food workers in about 100 cities will walk off the job this Thursday. The protest is intended to bring attention to the industry's low-wage jobs, as well as the difficulties of living on the federal minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour, which is about $15,000 a year for a full-time employee. Of course, in Washington State, it is not $7.25, it's $9.19. We have the highest minimum wage of any state in this country. Protesters are calling for a $15 an hour wage, although many see that figure mostly as a rallying point. I understand that in SeaTac it in fact passed, but a lot of people don't think we'll actually get to $15 an hour. And remember, this only affects 4.7% of the workforce. Only 4.7% of employees in this country are working minimum wage jobs. And that's really important to consider, because the movement is saying that there are these millions upon millions upon millions. It almost seems like it's the majority of the workforce asking for this. It's not. It's a very small percentage. KSDK Television spoke with two fast food workers who are unhappy with their situation and their pay.
$7.25 an hour, and if I go over 40 hours, it's $10 an hour.
$7.40. I got a 15-cent raise the second month I was there.
And I have a second job, you know, try to, like, catch up on bills.
It's crap. And they make billions of dollars each year. And when, like, our registers be filled with thousands of dollars and they can't up our rate.
I'm really tired of it already. You know, sometimes I work off the clock. And my manager will get mad at me if I don't do what he says. So it's just like, you know, there's a lot of abuse that goes on in the store because I guess we're all non-union.
Honestly, I hate them, but it's a job for now until I get my life situated and I get on higher grounds.
All this talk in the politics is middle-income and rich people, and they're forgetting that the low-income people exist, and we're also human beings.
We're here to basically help ourselves and help the future generations that will possibly be working at McDonald's or Wendy's or Domino's, every fast food joint out there, and we want a higher wage, you know?
About 9 months ago, I was driving back from a weekend trip to Portland, and I was driving through, I think it was Yelm, I was passing, and I had pulled over because I was so hungry. I was so thirsty. I decided to leave Portland early in the morning to get back. I had something to do that Sunday night here in Seattle. And I didn't eat breakfast, and I was driving through. It was about, I don't even remember, it was about an hour and a half, 2 hours after I'd left. There was a little traffic, and I decided to pull over into a McDonald's. And I walked into the McDonald's, and I was just shocked. I was shocked because there was this machine there that was taking my order. I was able to just press a few buttons and place my order, including, which is kind of really cool, when I was drinking soda, they had this soda machine that you can virtually come up with any flavor of soda and have it just come out of this machine. It was so convenient and it was so quick. It got my order correct because I was able to input the order that I wanted. The line was really short. Everything happened pretty much automated from the point of purchase. Now, obviously, someone in the back cooked my meal and then brought it to the front for me to pick up, but the ordering process was completely automated. That's really important in the discussion that we're having here about fast food workers who are upset that they're not making $15 an hour. These are low-skilled jobs. They are jobs that, frankly, are only here They're only here because businesses are choosing to keep them there. These are jobs that can be replaced by a computer. These are jobs, not all of them, some of them. These are jobs that can be replaced by a machine. The fact that I didn't have to talk to anyone to order what I ordered at that McDonald's is really significant. And it's really important for people to understand that when they are wishing for higher wages, they have to understand that that job is not worth that wage. At the end of the day, if I were to ask a poll of everyone listening right now, including myself, including Sean in the other room, everyone in the newsroom, if I was to say, would you want a raise? Everyone would say yes. Everyone would say, absolutely, I want a raise. I feel like I deserve a raise. And even if I don't, I just want one. Because, of course, we all want extra money. So I don't fault people for that. And I don't fault people for claiming and believing and living in a tough environment where the minimum wage that you're making is, in fact, tough to live through. I don't disparage anyone for that because I believe it is, in fact, tough making $7.25 an hour and living and maybe having kids or a family. It's really, really tough. But there has to be some basic understanding that this is not about you, the worker, and your feelings, because we all feel like we are worth more than we're actually paid. It's not about the worker's feelings. It's about the worker's value to the company. And if your value to the company is so small that it can be replaced by a computer, by a machine, how do you expect to get more money in this job? How do you expect to get $15 an hour? How do you expect to make it to that point? How do you tell your employer, hey, I understand that my job can be automated overnight should you choose to, but I want more money? And we see this happening in lots of businesses. If you go to a grocery store, what do they have in most of the bigger grocery stores? Certainly the chains. They have self-checkout. They have the person going in, purchasing what they want, going to the self-checkout stand, scanning all the items themselves, and paying right at that place, right at that position. And they usually have between 4, 6, sometimes 8 spots, depending on the size of the grocery store, for you to go and shop and check yourself out in. That requires one person. That requires one employee who's making minimum wage to sit there and supervise, answer any questions, do the little coupons, because for some reason you can't scan the coupons. You have to give your coupons to the attendant. I have no idea why that is. Are they worth $15 an hour? Again, I'm not talking about this like moral issue about whether or not you as a human being are worth $15 an hour. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying from a business stance. From a business stance, are you worth $15 an hour? Are you doing enough work to justify that paycheck? And if your answer is yes, answer this. Can your job be replaced by a computer or a machine? And if, again, the answer is yes, then I'd ask you to rethink the idea that you're worth $15 an hour. I would ask you to think about that. Now, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. I'd love to open up the phone lines for people to respond, especially if you disagree. If you disagree, I want to have that dialogue with you. 888-973-KIRO. When we come back, we're going to analyze some of the comments coming from those two workers, because I found them really enlightening in the context of this debate. We'll get into it when we come back. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to the vice president of the Chicago chapter of the Freedom From Religious Foundation. They've erected a giant A standing for atheist next to a nativity scene in Chicago. I'm curious to see if they did that because they want to promote themselves, or if they did it really, their motivation was really to bully. You can also send us an email. Go to CairoRadio.com. Click on the Linwood Honda inbox. Search for the name Jason Rantz. You are listening to Cairo Radio at Night. Welcome back to Cairo Radio at Night. I am Jason Rantz. Join the conversation online. CairoRadio.com. Click on the Linwood Honda inbox. Search for my name. We're talking about a planned strike in 100 cities across the country on Thursday of fast food workers. They are arguing that they deserve $15 an hour for their base wage. They want the minimum wage for these jobs to be raised to $15 an hour. I've been arguing that in the majority of the case, $15 is not warranted because of the level of the job that's being done, because of the fact that these are low-skilled jobs. There are a lot of people who, when I say that, they say, well, I'm worth more. I'm not saying what you're worth as a human being. I'm not talking emotionally. I'm talking from a business stance. And we're taking your calls at 888-973-KIRO. Kenna, you're on Kire Radio at Night.
Hi.
What's going on?
So I was pretty upset when I heard you talking about people's jobs not being worth $15 an hour. I think that $15 an hour in our current economic situation isn't really that much. It's hardly livable. And $7 an hour is just, I don't even think you'd have to work three jobs.
You would. Kenna, I don't disagree with you. I think that it's very tough working for the minimum wage in this country. I think even in Washington State, where we're guaranteed a minimum wage at $9.19, which is well above the national average, I don't disagree with that. But I'm arguing from a business standpoint. So a
right.
business obviously pays people what they think they're worth in the market. You would agree with that basic sort of term of how we determine what a wage is. Now, obviously, there's some cheating involved because there is a wage minimum that's being set. And some companies choose to go above that. Some companies choose to stay exactly where they are. So I would challenge you
right.
to tell me why, from a business standpoint. Put the emotional stuff aside for just a moment.
Sure.
And tell me from a business standpoint why someone in a low-skilled job, a starter job, if you will, such as a retail worker or a the person who takes your order at McDonald's or Wendy's
right.
deserves $15 an hour.
Well, a lot of companies don't pay their entry-level positions. They don't pay the minimum wage. I mean, retail, they're going to pay them what they're worth. Your Nordstrom workers are not going to make minimum wage. They're going to make more than that because they value their employees. I think the issue at hand is that these companies have gotten away with not valuing their employees. And if they don't value them, I guess they will pay them these bottom wages. But I guess the greater issue is, are we valuing our employees? Is customer service important? If you don't think so, then replace everyone with robots. But I don't think anyone would be happy if every single customer service entry-level job was replaced with a robot.
I would agree with that. I don't think every position should be replaced with a robot. In fact, I don't like the idea of replacing any
right.
job with a robot. I would argue that the only people who actually like that idea are, one, the people who are coming up with these robots and profiting off of them. And
yeah.
certainly there are business owners who want to be more cost-effective. So I agree with you with that point.
I think the other problem is the disparity between management, CEOs, high level people in these positions versus what their employees are making. I mean, that's a problem that we're facing across America.
Well,
the wage, I mean, that, and from a business standpoint, fine,
sure.
they probably don't want to pay their employees more, but we all have to fight for our rights to get more. And I don't think that just because you work at a fast food restaurant, you're worth any less. And so I think that they're right in raising this issue, even if they're only the 4%. Hey, we're all the 1%, the 1% versus the 99%. If they're the 4%, then it's not that big of a deal. For I thought some of those workers that you had on had a good point that, they're a small sector, but it doesn't mean that they don't deserve the same as everybody else.
Well, Kenna, you bring up incredibly valid points that I do want to address. So one of your points has to do with whether or not we choose to either work for a company or shop at a company that values or doesn't value their workers in a way that you and I might feel is appropriate. We as consumers, we get to choose if we're going to shop at a place that pays the bare minimum and doesn't offer any benefits. You can find that out easily. We know that about most fast food places. Now, we can choose not to go there for that exact same reason. And maybe some of these fast food joints will say, okay, you know what? We're losing customers because of this. Or maybe as an employee of some of these companies, you say, you know what? This is beneath me. I deserve more. And rather than beg for it or demand it, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go somewhere else because I'm not forced to work at a fast food place. I'm not forced to work at a retail shop. Now, a lot of people would say, well, I sort of am forced because I have no skills yet and I need some of these types of jobs to gain more skills. And I would say exactly. That's what the role is of these jobs. The role is to give you some of those basic skills. And then what happens when you get those basic skills? You go to a better job and you make more money. And by the way, statistically speaking, if you stay in that retail job or if you stay in that fast food job, if you stay in a job that is minimum wage and you stay for a year, even less, two-thirds of those people end up getting a raise. Two-thirds. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. We've got a ton of calls, but we're going to move on. Coming up next, an atheist group decided to erect a giant A next to a nativity scene. Are they doing it for purposes of just getting their message out there, or are they trying to be bullies? We'll get into it when we come back. This is Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM, Seattle's News, Seattle's Talk. Welcome back. I am Jason Rantz. An atheist group in Chicago, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, unveiled an 8.5-foot-tall letter A in a public square in downtown Chicago alongside a life-size nativity display. Is this an example of the so-called war on Christmas, or is this just a group exercising their freedom of speech and expression? Joining me to discuss is Evan Kane, the vice president of the Freedom From Religious Foundation's Metropolitan Chicago chapter. Evan, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So let's start with, why did you erect this giant A outside of the nativity scene?
Well, ideally, we would like it if there were no religious displays whatsoever in the public square. But if there are going to be displays like a nativity or a giant 30-foot menorah, like what our display is next to, we just want to use that opportunity to make sure that people know that atheists are here and other non-believers, and that we're an important part of the community.
Earlier, when you explained why you erected this giant A, you said you would prefer that there would not be any religious symbolism in the public square. Why? Why would you prefer that?
Well, I think it's divisive, and doesn't really serve a positive purpose.
Can you explain a little bit more about that? So when you say the giant menorah, how is that divisive in its very nature, just being there?
The menorah isn't divisive necessarily, in Chicago, because there's a large population of people who identify as being Jewish. But, if somebody were to, put up another religious symbol, maybe an Islamic symbol or Hindu or some other obscure religion, some people might take offense to that, and I think if you look around the country, people do get upset when symbols that they feel don't represent them or are contrary to their belief system are presented in the public square. They do get upset. People will be upset.
But we don't govern by whether or not someone's going to get upset, because if we did, certainly the A that you've erected, some would say, especially religious people would say, well, that's offensive. I don't like it there next to these other symbols. And you would say, well, that's my right to put it up there, regardless of whether or not you get offended.
You're right.
Are you part of the problem by erecting this giant A?
No, like I said, ideally we would prefer that no religious symbols whatsoever are placed in the public square. I mean, that's what, the government is not supposed to endorse any religion or irreligion. And therefore, those things really shouldn't be there. But if they're going to be there, we want to be equally represented.
It always comes down to the interpretation of what it means to endorse, right? So if a government allows any sort of religious symbolism to go up, they're clearly not endorsing a single religion.
Unless the government, puts a symbol up that every single religion can identify with, then they are endorsing some ideas over others.
Well, aren't they just endorsing the idea that you can choose to put up a display that's religious in nature should you come to us and ask for this permit? I mean, that's a far cry from saying, okay, the Jews, I'm not allowing you to put up this menorah. The Christians, go put up your nativity scene.
Yes, and right. And that's why this is, as long as we're able to put up, or anybody is able to put up their religious symbol along with everyone else's, then I agree with you. But that's not always the case. And I think a simpler solution than, having hundreds, if not thousands, of potential displays put up in the public square is to put up none.
I sometimes feel like there are atheists and atheist groups who are trying to mock people who are religious. I sometimes feel they're trying to be bullies in some cases. I mean, I guess I would argue that erecting an A right next to a nativity scene is almost like trying to pick a fight.
So just so I understand your position, so putting an A next to a nativity scene is picking a fight.
I think the motivation behind it is trying to pick a fight. I think a lot of the motivation behind this imagery that you're putting up is to say, we're better than you. And all I have to do is go to the Facebook page for your organization, for your specific chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and I see all these posts by your group calling people who believe in God victims of a cult mentality. I see these posts telling people that they're just frankly not as smart or logical as atheists. And I think that combination with this displays that you guys are putting up there is meant to tell people who believe in God that they're less than. Like, do you view Christianity, for example, as a cult?
Ultimately, I don't see religion as a problem. It's a symptom of a problem, and the problem is believing things based upon faith, or another way of saying that, believing things with a lack of evidence, or even believing something that is contradicted by evidence. And I think I think that's not a great way to live your life. That leads to all sorts of problems. Things from people letting their children die of very treatable illnesses, which just happened in Canada recently, because the parents thought, I'm sure, and they really truly believe that if they prayed, their child would get better. Child died. That's what comes out of believing things that just simply aren't.
What's
true.
What's the rate of that happening?
If it's one, it's too many.
Okay, but what is the statistical rate? I mean, you would agree that it's a very small statistic. You're not claiming that this happens every single day in this country. You're really saying it happens every once in a while, not only in this country but elsewhere. So I could easily point to one atheist who takes on the stereotype of not being moral because he or she doesn't believe in any afterlife, so they go around killing people. I could easily go to just one example that is so outside the mainstream and then try and paint that picture to represent all atheists. You would say that's absolutely unfair. And I would say the same thing to you, where there are some people, there's no doubt, that take their religious belief to an absurd level, where they're letting their kid die because they feel that praying will treat some sort of illness. But let's not pretend that happens all the time.
I'm not pretending it happens all the time. I was simply using it as an example of how believing things that aren't true is ultimately harmful.
Here's my last question for you. Do you think that you are smarter or better than people who do believe in God?
No.
You don't think you're smarter than
them? Not at all. I'm smarter than some people and less smart than others. Like I said, belief in God is not, again, and I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah, of course.
Belief in God is not the problem. It's a symptom. You either want to believe things that are true and evidence based, or you don't.
Yes, by the very inference of saying you believe in something because you can prove it, you're saying that 70% of this country is not as smart as you because they don't come to the exact same fact based conclusion. It appears that there is an implication from your group that the people who believe in God are not as smart as the atheists who use science and what they deem to be facts to prove the non-existence of something. And I say that because while I appreciate the conversation, and I think that's a worthy one, frankly, that I'm glad we're having, when I go onto the Facebook page and I see all these negative things about people who believe in God, you're sending off the wrong message. And I think you'd be better served to having the conversation in a way that doesn't demean the other side. And I think it's demeaning when you put up on the Facebook page that people who believe in God share characteristics of cult mentality. I think that that's not helpful, and I think that doesn't serve your cause very well.
You may very well be right about that, and you know, I'm sure you know that how Facebook works, but people post stuff, and you know, because again, we do believe in free speech, we don't take down things unless it's truly something.
Which is exactly why I'm only focusing on the comments that have been shared specifically from the Freedom From Religion Foundation of Metropolitan Chicago chapter. I'm not responding to anything that an individual person put up.
Yeah, okay. Well, so, I mean, let me ask you this.
Sure.
You know, do you think you're, I mean, do you believe in Bigfoot?
I do not.
Okay. Do you think somebody who believes in Bigfoot is stupider than you?
No, I don't. I think that they have the reasons to believe in it. But I also think that you're comparing something that inherently cannot be proven. It's about something you feel, such as love. Now, I feel love for things. I feel love for people. I can't necessarily prove that I feel love for them. I can tell you I feel love for them. I can certainly show you I feel love for someone. But I can't prove it beyond any reasonable doubt. I can't point to science and say, hey, this feeling that I have is love.
It's not something that needs to be proven, which is different than saying that
neither does one's faith in God. Saying in my heart, that's what I believe. And when you tell someone a feeling that they have is incorrect, when you tell someone a feeling that they have in a collective group of people who have that feeling that they are like in a cult, I think you are doing a disservice to your point. I appreciate it, you coming on. I'm talking with Evan Kane. He's the vice president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Metropolitan Chicago chapter. Evan, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. I really do.
Yeah, I appreciate being here. Thank you.
I am Jason Rantz. You are listening to Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM, Seattle's News, Seattle's Talk. Welcome back. I am Jason Rantz, live from the Carter Subaru Studios. Join the conversation online. Go to facebook.com/ Jason Rantz Show, RANTZ. Every time I talk about religion or I talk about God, I always feel a little bit weird because on the one hand, I know that there are a lot of people who are certainly passionate about their religious beliefs or their spiritual beliefs. But on the other hand, there are folks who just don't like talking about it. They feel offended when you talk about God or religion. They feel uncomfortable. And, you know, those are valid feelings if those are the feelings that you have. But I think it's a conversation worth having, not just the extent as to speech, not exactly just to the extent of religious symbols in the public sphere. That's certainly a very valid debate, certainly one that we have struggled with legally speaking since the Founding Fathers wrote the First Amendment. But the question of whether or not God exists, and I think that's a valid debate to have. I don't think anyone can win that debate. I don't think you can prove either way. I think it really is about how you feel. I feel that there is a God, and I understand people feel that there isn't, and that's perfectly okay. And I like talking to people who do not believe because I want to hear from them. I want to get their thoughts on this topic. I want to hear their logic, and I want to hear their reasoning. And I want to be a better informed person by having those conversations. But when I go to the Facebook page for the Chicago chapter of the Foundation from Religious, or excuse me, the Religion, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, there we go. When I go there and they say on air that they want to have these conversations and they're valid and that they don't feel like they're better than anyone else, I go to their page and then I see all this stuff on there that says the opposite, that says they are feeling like they're smarter than people who believe in God. And how does that help the conversation? Why does it always seem that these types of groups want to bully the other side, want to mock the other side, want to tell the people who believe in God, the religious people, the people who are even just spiritual, not only are you wrong, but I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I use logic and I use reason. They have on their page, they put up this quote that says, if God answers your prayer, he is increasing your faith. If he delays, he is increasing your patience. If he doesn't answer, he has something better for you. Which is obviously a quote about religious doctrine and your belief in God, and says a lot about what the belief system is for some people who are religious. But at the bottom of that quote, it says confirmation bias, the tendency to search for or interpret information in a way that confirms one's preconceptions, characteristic trait of cult mentality. So in the eyes of atheists, at least in this group that is endorsing this position, or at least posting it on their Facebook page, they're basically saying people who believe in God are like a cult. These people are like cult members. They belong to a cult. They're crazy. They're wrong. They're silly. And when I see something like that, how do you have a conversation about God with someone like that? How do you have a conversation with them? And I would ask you, what is more cult-like? 70% of this country believing in God, or the 2.5% that are atheists? What seems more like a cult? And so I think that that line of reasoning and that argument is silly. I think that line of reasoning is not helpful to a conversation that should be done with respect. But they open themselves up when they put stuff like this on there. They put another post on their page meant to demonize a religious organization. They show a picture and they have underneath it, the Catholic organization Rosaries for Life has sent 3,000 rosaries to the victims of Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines so that they can thank God. That's not what they did. I looked this up because part of the doctrine of this show is to fact check everything. Fact check everything I'm saying. You should get in the habit of fact-checking, and I fact-checked this particular piece of information. The group Rosaries for Life did not send 3,000 rosaries to the victims of the typhoon in Philippines so that they can thank God. What they did was they sent down rosaries and they sent down Bibles to people who were searching for answers, for people who were searching for a way to pray, for people who were searching for a avenue to pray to God. Because what happened during this typhoon? Churches didn't magically stay up. They were destroyed. Religious documents like Bibles were lost and destroyed. And so what this group did was give it to people who believe in God, who are searching for answers and choose to search for answers through religious text. Now you can say that's ridiculous. A typhoon happened and this is what you're doing. You're praying to God after a typhoon. Why didn't God stop this from happening in the first place? Valid argument, valid discussion point. I think people who are religious would have an answer for you, and then you can have a debate. But when you start the conversation by insulting people, when you start the conversation by lying, how do you intend to have that conversation, an honest one? They have another post on their site. It's all in your head, put there by adults that had it put in their heads when they were young, the cycle of lies. And that's responding to religion, to the belief in God. So you've been told a lie and you're perpetuating that lie. Why can't you just have the conversation saying, I disagree with you, this is why? And then we can go from there. But instead, there's this demonization of people who are religious that's unfair. There is an aspect of the atheist community that want to bully people and mock them. Not every atheist is like that. And certainly we have people on the religious side that are just as mean and just as deceitful than some of the people that I'm talking about on the atheist side. It happens on both. But we need to come together because these are valid conversations. And at the end of the day, even if you don't even think they're valid, you know what they are? They're kind of interesting to have. And I like to have interesting conversations. I'm Jason Rantz. When we come back, Spokane moms are saying, we want to vote on whether or not bikini baristas should be in business in our town. We'll talk about it when we come back on Cairo Radio.